All right, Tabosai. I want to share with you a really beautiful piece here from Parshas Pinchas. So, just to give a little bit of context, remember again, the Parsha picks up in the aftermath of the episode of Pinchas. The actual episode of Pinchas, remember again, occurs at the end of last week's Parsha. Pinchas sees the incredible immorality of Klal Yisrael together with the daughters of Midian, and he specifically kills two people. Two people engaged in the public desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Zimri, the tribal prince of Shimon, and Cozbi, who was a Midianite princess. Pinchas kills them both. Kills them both. Remember again, Rashi HaKadosh at the end of the parasha, at last week's parasha, so discusses the incredible tension around this episode. What was the tension? So remember, everybody's coming to Moshe Rabbeinu trying to figure out what should we do, what should we do? And Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, like the Gemara says, Nistalik Mimenu Halacha, he just didn't know what to do. He just didn't know how to react. So Pinchas takes decisive action in lieu of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, of course, what's the great unknown? The great unknown in all of this is, did Pinchas do the right thing, not do the right thing? And again, remember, this is a very sensitive parsha, because what we see over here when it comes to Pinchas is an act of religious zealotry. So how does one go ahead and deal with religious zealotry? Is it appropriate? Is it what should be done or not? So the answer to that is really given in this week's parsha, because the pasuk says, L'chein emor lo, hineni nosin lo es brisi shalom. The Ribbono Shel Olam rewards Pinchas with his covenant of peace. Rewards Pinchas ultimately again by giving him this bris, his covenant of the kuna. Remember again, as Rashi points out, as much as Pinchas is ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, remember again, interestingly enough, he is the one man who is a son of a Kohen, yet not a Kohen. Because remember again, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the kuna, he gave it to Aaron and his sons, Elazar, Itamar, Ronadav, Aviu, Elazar, Itamar, but it didn't go to any children that those four sons already had. Only children who would be born after the designation would then become Kohanim. So amazingly enough, Pinchas saw his father, Elazar, become a Kohen, saw his Zeda, Aaron, become a Kohen, but yet he was not a Kohen. Amazingly enough, he earns his kahuna. When does he earn his kahuna? In the aftermath of this episode, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards him with the covenant of the kahuna. So, Rabbi Nachman here has such an incredibly profound insight that I think it's linked to the parasha, but the truth is, it transcends the parasha. Look what the Rebbe says over here. He says, now remember, the lashon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses is Bekano es kinosi besocham, which literally means like, Pinchas was zealous on my behalf. Bekano es kinosi. He did for me what no one else did. He did for me what I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, desired to have done. So the amazing part about this episode over here is that if you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's life, if you were to describe Moshe Rabbeinu's life, how would you describe it? How would you describe it?
Amazing.
Amazing. So, right? Tumultuous, good, simpler. Scripted. Moshe Rabbeinu's life is scripted. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him what to do, and he does it. In fact, when does Moshe Rabbeinu Nebuch get into incredible trouble? When he goes off script, right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to speak to the rock and he hits the rock, everything in Moshe Rabbeinu's life is scripted. Moshe Rabbeinu gives him the tzivui, tells him what to do, and it's Moshe Rabbeinu's job to execute. The incredible novelty of the Pinchas story is it represents an unscripted episode. Pinchas is faced with a situation. The leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, doesn't react for a variety of different reasons. Pinchas thinks he knows the halacha, right? After all, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't we learn that if somebody publicly engages in an act of immorality, you're allowed to kill him? So Pinchas knew the halacha, but yet, amazingly enough, no one around him was taking action. Aaron wasn't taking action. His father, Elazar, wasn't taking action. Itamar wasn't taking action. So Pinchas does something that is effectively unscripted. Pinchas, this is the incredible dichotomy. Moshe Rabbeinu does everything that's scripted. That's his job, to follow the script. Pinchas is called upon to act in an unscripted way. There's a situation, a difficult situation. There's no explicit command from God to do one thing or not to do something. Pinchas gets up and he acts. And the Rebbe says something amazing. Look at paragraph A. Afilu achshav shekvar nitna Torah v'yesh l'chol echad b'chira kipshuto. So remember again, says the Rebbe, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. But along with the Torah, we also have b'chira. We have free choice, right? We have the ability to do whatever we want. So we'll say, you know, the greatest raya, what's the greatest proof that we have free choice? The greatest proof? Greatest proof.
You know, lightning doesn't strike you.
So lightning doesn't strike you. Simpler. All of us make bad decisions. We all make bad decisions. Isn't it an amazing thing? Meaning, if I didn't have b'chira, if I didn't have free choice, I really couldn't make an active decision that undermines my own self-interest. Yet, most of us, I was going to say we do this every day, I would say that many of us, I can't say anyone else, actively do this multiple times each day. Just make bad decisions that undermine, you know, what I want to accomplish in life. That's the greatest right. I have free choice. I have free choice. Even though I have a Torah, the Torah outlines the expectations from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, outlines what God wants, but I still have the ability to act against those desires. Now watch this. And this, Bosa, you're going to see, I want to give you this Hakadama. As I think, I'm hoping that, I don't know, how long have we had this year already for? 2 years? More? 3 years? Okay. How long have you been living here? Okay, so probably two. So we'll say, so one of the things hopefully you've come to see from Rabbi Nachman is that sometimes the Rebbe says things, and when he says it, they sound like so pashut, they sound so simple, but the Rebbe's profundity lies in his simplicity. He's able to highlight basic fundamental core concepts in very simple terms often that are so, look what he writes. Afa piken, bi'inyani eitzos, eich liskos lekaimis divrei ha-Torah, so the Rebbe says, so I have Torah, and Torah gives me mitzvos. Mitzvos are an expression of divine intent and divine will. And I was supposed to say, it's very important to Yisod. Every single mitzvah we have, why do I have it? What does God care if I wrap black straps on my arm, or I keep Shabbos, or I don't eat this, or I don't wear Shabbos? Who cares? Because the Rebbe was saying that embedded in every single mitzvah is some allusion to the divine will. Mitzvos are not just mechanistic entities. A mitzvah is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys to us that this is important to me. It is important to me, it's important to God that I put on tefillah every morning. Why? Why is that important? So then I have to try to figure out what is the deeper meaning in that mitzvah. Maybe the deeper meaning is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to use my intellectual faculties, my physical strength, ultimately to serve Him. I don't know. But we have to find the deeper idea. So we'll say, so the idea is that in addition to the mitzvos, when he comes, what the Rebbe says, Be'inyone eitzos, eich liskos lekayim es divrei ha-Torah. So Rebbe says, here's what's amazing. Do you know where the greatest manifestation of Bechira is? When I have to figure out how to be successful in life. Well, I guess first, however you're defining success, but how do I become successful in life? You know, meaning a person, we all know this, and we'll say, you know, you could be busy a whole day. You're busy a whole day, and you could even be busy with important things, but yet totally feel unaccomplished. Because you don't feel like you're using your koach to do the things that you really could be doing. We all have days like this, right? I'm busy. I didn't waste a moment. But I'm not busy in the right direction. I'm not busy with the things I need to be busy with. The idea is, in life, I have to figure out, how can I be successful? The Rebbe calls that, those are the eitzos of existence. In life, you need a lot of eitzos. You need, what's the good word for an eitzah?
Answer.
A solution or an approach. An approach. You need an approach in life. What is my approach to success? What is my approach ultimately, again, to spiritual success, to life success? Of course, this presupposes that I know what success looks like. But it's you could apply this model to whatever you want. He's obviously talking about it, Rebbe's talking about it over here, in the realm of spirituality. But yes, I think the same thing is in the realm of material success as well. The idea ultimately says that Rebbe, I have Bechira, I have free choice, I have Torah, but when it comes to Be'inyane Eitzos, what's my approach in life? Eich liskos lekayim es divrei haTorah. How am I going to uphold the words of the Torah? Ube eze derech tzrichin leilech. What's the right path to take? Im bederech hamechakrim, im bederech hamekubalim b'chule. Paragraph B. V'chein lemili eskarev. So we'll see. You know what the Rebbe is describing over here? The Rebbe is describing that we often think, and we'll see, this is so profound. We often think that what's the job of a Jew? Do mitzvahs. The Rebbe says, that's true, but that's the first step. My goal in life is to be successful. That's each and every one of us has the same goal. The difference is, success looks different for each and every one of us. The goal in life is to be successful. Yes, Torah helps me on that path to success. Mitzvot help me onto that path to success. But at the end of the day, I need to figure out the Eitzah. What's the approach? What's the derech to success? What does success look like? And then after I identify what it looks like, how do I get there? What's the path? And for every person, that path to success looks different. It looks different. Or as I was saying, there's a different Eitzah. There's a different Eitzah for each and every one of us. There's a different Eitzah as to how to get there. And I will say, there's also different Eitzos with who we need to become close to in order to get there. This is the other piece, meaning the Rebbe doesn't dwell on this, he kind of just slides this in. Most of us can't reach our end goal of success by ourselves. We need other people to help aid us on that journey. This idea in life is, who are the people who help propel you forward? Who are the people who hold you back? And this sometimes becomes one of the most difficult things in life. Because sometimes, again, I like the people who hold me back. I don't like the people who are going to get me forward. But yet, at the same time, I need to choose those relationships wisely. Because I don't want to be stuck in place. Paragraph B. B'chol zeh, here we go. And we'll say, here's the, I should have underlined this. B'chol zeh, tzarech ha'adam lahavin me'atzmo. We'll say, how would you translate that phrase? B'chol zos, paragraph B, tzarech ha'adam lahavin me'atzmo. How would you translate that? Self-aware, or I would use the word intuition. A person has to possess a level of life intuition. You see, I was saying, no one could tell you what success for you in life looks like. No one. This is a very important idea. No one could tell you what your metric of success is, for one simple reason. Because even the people closest to you don't know you on the inside the way you know yourself. The only person who could help me understand what success is and how to get there is me. Only I could paint that picture for myself. Only you could paint that picture for yourself. That's the Eitzos. Only I could come up with my own Eitzah for me, and only you could come up with your own Eitzah for you. And so much of that Eitzah, says the Rebbe, a person has to be meivin me'atzmo. It's based on my own self-awareness, it's based on my own self-cognition, it's based on my own understanding of myself and my own understanding of life. It's fundamentally rooted in my ability to be self-aware. Now watch this. Therefore, if a person is able to go ahead and discern what is tachlis hanitzchi, what is his ultimate purpose, be'ein ha'emes, through the lens of truth, be'vadai yiske lahavin be'eze derech yelech, ulemi lehiskare be'bechinas askil chava orcha be'derech zutelech, yotza eilecha ini, k'mo shekasa ba'torah merachamam, sheyesh remaz, in paragraph C, shema she'in yecholim ligmor bedibor, komrem bi'adayim b'remazem, bechinas natisi yadi. I'm just going to read a few more lines. So, actually, before we go on, because the truth is, this is really the Vart over here. You hear what the Rebbe is saying? This, again, it's so simple, yet it's so incredibly profound. The Rebbe says that this is multiple steps. First of all, each of us, in life, you have to have an image as to what success looks like. I said, do you guys like how scared? I would venture to say that a lot of us go through life and we're busy and we're working towards good things. But if someone were to ask me on the street, what is your ultimate life goal and aspiration? How many of us, you know, so of course, if you're feeling frum that day, so you'll answer, my ultimate goal and aspiration.
Serve Hashem.
Serve Hashem, right? That's always a safe one, right? No one's ever, and that's certainly true, but what does that mean? Serve Hashem how? Serve Hashem with what? What does that look like? Besimcha, beautiful, those are adjectives. But at the end of the day, what is my goal? Says the Rebbe, in life, you have to figure out, A, what is your goal? What is your purpose? What is your tachlis? Once you figure that out, and I would also venture to say, doesn't mean that there's one tachlis for life. There could be a tachlis for this week. There could be a tachlis for right now. There could be a tachlis for tomorrow. Tachlis doesn't necessarily have to mean, what is my 120-year mission? Tachlis could just mean, what is it that I perceive as my current mission? So says the Rebbe, that's step number one. What is the tachlis? What is it, what the Rebbe calls the tachlis ha'amiti? And number two, what's my plan to get there? Now, Bosana, here's the scary part, says the Rebbe. So where do you come up with the answers for those things? Where do you come up with the answers for those things? So that's, you'll keep the sheets, you'll underline this. Becholzeh, paragraph B again. Tzarech ha'adam lahavin me'atzmo. Both say, that is something that I have to intuitively dig down deep within myself and try to figure that out. No one could give that to you. No one could tell you what your success looks like, nor could anyone tell you how to reach that level of success. Where does that come from, says the Rebbe? That comes from within. That answer is in me. I just have to try to figure out how to access it. So now, there's much more in this Vart, but if we tie this back, the Rebbe says, this is what was happening with Pinchas. People say, what happened with Pinchas? Pinchas understood that at this moment, his tachlis ha'amiti, his ultimate job was to what? His ultimate job was to act. You see, everyone else was sitting there paralyzed. Everyone else was just simply looking around, horrified as to what was happening, but for whatever the reason, lulled into a state of inaction. That was Moshe, that was Aaron, that was Elazar, that was Itamar. Pinchas realized that it was his job in that moment to act. How did he know how to act? How did he know how to act?
He had the intuition to find.
He looked within himself. He looked within himself. That Pinchas introspected and Pinchas said, okay, I now in this moment know what my tachlis is. My tachlis is to stem and to stop this terrible Chilul Hashem. How? Through the various steps that he made. Why was Tzavosei, and that's the God, that's the profundity of the story. See, you understand the incredible like dichotomy here. Moshe Rabbeinu knows what to do. Why? Why? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu tells it. And by the way, that's not unique to Moshe. Avraham Avinu was the same way. Avraham Avinu knew what to do. He knew to go to Eretz Canaan. Why? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu told them, Lech Lecha. There are leaders, there are people who are scripted. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells them what to do, when they need to do it, and how to do it. There's nothing wrong with that. Pinchas represents our reality. Our reality is that we find ourselves in situations and I don't know what to do. So how do I address those situations when I don't know what to do? I take a step back and I figure out, what is my tachlis? What is my purpose in these circumstances? How do I get to that purpose? How do I cross that finish line? Where do I find those answers? I look inward and I introspect. I look inward and that's why that paragraph base Becholzeh tzarech ha'adam lahavin me'atzmo. But so the way I get the answer is that ultimately, again, I look inside myself. And I think the Rebbe is teaching us is something, the rest of the Vart you'll look at on your own, but I think the Rebbe is teaching us is something amazing. And I'll say, but this model only works if what? Think about this for just a moment. This Pinchas model, right, of assessing what your tachlis ha'amiti is, what's your ultimate goal and purpose, how do I get there? And those answers are found in me. I can only find those answers inside me if what?
If you're clean.
If you have the right internal equilibrium. Right. See, the problems are both, I say to myself, oh, this is great, sure. You know what the take-home message for this is? Right? trust your instinct. Oh, no. That is a very bad idea. Right, for many of us, that's a very bad idea. It's trust your instinct if you've worked to cultivate yourself. If you've worked to cultivate your sense of self, then trust your instinct. Then the Rebbe says, but the prerequisite to this is, I have to be holding in a spiritual state to be able to trust that voice in my head. To be able to glean my life decisions based on introspection requires internal spiritual equilibrium. And Rabbosai, I think this is amazing. Because this is really where Torah and mitzvot come in. You know, I will say, a lot of times we ask, and it's a totally legitimate question to ask, like, why do we have to do all this stuff? Really, at the end of it, like, we have so many responsibilities, and there's so many details. Why? God cares about this stuff, right? So, and I will say, by the way, it's a totally legitimate question. It's a totally legitimate question. And you see, I thought the problem is, when we're young and we ask that question, it's very often looked like as like a chutzpah, like ridiculous. So, but it's a legitimate question. Does a Kaddish Baruch Hu care if I flick a light switch or not? Kaddish Baruch Hu cares if there's wool and linen in my suit? These details. And I will say, I think the answer on some level is not really. In other words, that these actions, these mitzvos, don't really impact the Ribono Shel Olam one way or the other. But what do they do? You see, the secret power of Torah, of mitzvos, of chesed, is that it refines me as a human being. And when I refine myself as a human being, that creates my inner spiritual equilibrium. And when I create inner spiritual equilibrium, then when I ask myself the question, what is my ultimate goal and how do I get there? I can look inside for those answers. Because if I'm not using Torah and mitzvos to create an inner spiritual equilibrium there, then I'm placing myself in incredible existential danger. Why? Because then when faced with a question about what to do, if I'm going to rely on introspection, on my kishkas to give me the answers, those answers are flawed. And Rabbi said, this is meisim b'chol yom. When people say, all I need to do is to be a good person, right? And I can make my decisions based on that. So that's not a false statement. But who's defining what the definition of a good person is? If you're imposing your own self-definition, I think good means A, B, and C. Based on this, I do these things, I'm a good person. Okay. I mean, lahavda elef alfi rivi havdalos. We have seen what happens when people rely on their own intuition to determine what is good and what is not. And again, obviously a very exaggerated example. Hitler, Yimach Shemo v'zichro, did not think he was a Russia. He didn't think he was a bad guy. He thought he was doing a service to the entirety of humanity, right? Suicide bombers think that they're actively performing some type of chesed by killing the infidels. People do all kinds of crazy things when they just simply rely on their own internal barometer to determine what is right and what is wrong. But say the profundity of learning Torah, of doing mitzvos, of engaging in acts of chesed, is that they create an internal spiritual equilibrium. They create a reality on the inside of me. They create or help to foster and nurture the real me. So that when I introspect and when I try to find answers to life's greatest questions, I'm consulting a spiritually solid source. That, says Rabbi Nachman, was the story of Pinchas. The story of Pinchas is a story of the power of the individual to introspect, look inside himself, and find the answers to life's toughest questions. But the prerequisite for that is internal self-refinement. And that internal self-refinement only comes about through engaging in a life of spirituality. Once I have Torah, once I have mitzvos, once I have chesed, then the inside is good. The inside doesn't even have to be totally pure. None of us are totally pure. But the inside is purified to a degree so that I could rely on my own understanding of things to be able to reach my life goals. And I will say, I think the power of this Rabbi Nachman is, it just gives us a different understanding into like, why we do the things we do. You know, I'll give you like in Daf Yomi now, in the middle of Masechet Zevachim, and it's a tough Gemara. And there are times like when we're learning this Gemara, wonder to ourselves, like, really? Like, what is going on over here? I give this shiur, and I think that to myself sometimes. What is going on over here? Or sometimes, again, there are aspects of our Yiddishkeit. Not everybody enjoys every single aspect of our Yiddishkeit. And I say, why am I doing this? And I will say, when that knowing thought comes in your head, you remember this Rabbi Nachman. I'm doing this because every single mitzvah, every single piece of Torah, every single bit of chesed does its part in purifying and nurturing my internal neshama. And the more halig that neshama becomes, the more it could help guide me in difficult life situations, the more it could help guide me in identifying what my goals and aspirations in life are and should be, and the more it can guide me ultimately in how to get there.
Shmayach. Beautiful.
Is that why it's Kilasi?
Kilasi. Kilasi. Because
they
right, there's one more piece, which is Pinchas was able to be mechadin to what the Das HaBore was. Okay. Right? What he calls Hashvios HaDeos. That Ase Ratzoncha Ki Ratzono. That's a Pinchas. He was so in tune that he was able to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Yeah. It's not just what he needed to do at that time, but what he needed to do was dafko what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted done. Perfect alignment of Ratzonos.
But really, it's also, it has to be a balance. And what I mean by balance is yes, the Torah and the mitzvot.
Can we pray?
Refine and build our what's it called? Our inner so we can make those right decisions. But at the same time, a person. It can't just be the Torah. It can't be just the mitzvot, because there's plenty of people that do the mitzvot and daven three times a day that are making horrible decisions.
A thousand percent. It's a balance. There's light screens.
It's the Torah, and it's also sarhagim lahagim of the atzma. Which means
your own intuitions.
But it's not just their own intuitions.